Splash, play. Splash your sails. Splash your sails. Play with Amy, Quinn Lee. Splash your sails. Starting now with Amy, Quinn Lee. Go.
What up, fools? Welcome to the Splash Your Sails podcast. I'm your host, Amy Quinn Lee, and we are here to recap Jeff Lewis for the week of April 22nd to the 26th, starting with Monday, motherfuckers. Motherfucking Monday. It's just another motherfucking Monday. Bitch. That should be a remix to Just Another Manic Monday. Is an everyday manic if you do it right. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Okay, starting with the Monday episode, we had Kelly Dodd, Rick Leventhal, and Chanae Douglas was there all motherfucking week, as he always is every single week. It's basically the Jeff and Shane Lewis live show at this point. Honestly, like, if anything, God forbid, were to ever happen to Jeff, sometimes I worry that Shane is gonna single white male him instead of single white female, and he's just gonna, like, slip right into Jeff's life. He's just gonna move into Chateau Lewis. I'm sure he already has a room there. Have we gotten an update on Jeff's actual house that he's building? Because I know he's renting one, but the house that the mural, the mermaid mural that I guarantee if they haven't moved in yet, then again, we've said this, by the time they do, Monroe is going to be like, what the fuck is this shit on the wall? She's going to be like, yo, dad, order some decals from Amazon. We need to cover this shit up. She'll be ready for a Banksy by then. And it sounds like the way that her life is going, she'll get it. She'll get whatever the fuck she wants. Oh my God. I really think that she's the real life Veruca Salt from Willy Wonka in the best way. Like, she's, you know, we'll get to it. All right. Love you, Monroe. Ew, I feel weird talking about a kid, but he talks about a kid. So. Okay. Moving on. Jeff, Kelly, Rick, five other randos. They went out to dinner last night. I guess they're all friends, but when they start like listing people that we don't know, names that we've never met, fellows that we've never had fellowship with, it jars me. I'm like, what do you mean you know other people? What do I mean? Okay, whatever. So Jeff and a random crew, they went to Norma on La Cienega Boulevard. And Jeff was like, it was a nice, fancy restaurant, super expensive, super exclusive, honey. Jameson, have you ever been? Have you ever been one with the rich folks? No, because you're just a peasant ginger bitch. I'm talking to myself, Jameson. I'm the peasant ginger bitch. We can both be if you want. But Jameson was like, nope, never stumbled its way into my Yelp suggestions before. Is it French, you little fucker? Is it French, you little fucker? Now, what happens next is so... It's one of those things where like your world shifts and you're like, whoa, I didn't even know that existed. And now a whole new world has opened up to me. Jeff fucking says, this motherfucker, this little baby fucker, oh, little daddy fucker. Okay, no. He goes, no, it's not French. It's more continental, you know, more American. What the fuck? Gabba gabba goo. What the fuck are you talking about? I have never in my life filed this under things I've never even fucking known of before. I didn't know that dinners could be continental, okay? I thought that was exclusively for breakfast at hotels. A continental breakfast I've never heard. I never heard that it crossed boundaries, it crossed time zones, it crosses into lunches and dinners. You can have continental everything. And then I just learned I was today, Monday, years old when I learned that continental meant American. That's what it means. But that doesn't make sense because a continental, it doesn't say intercontinental or intracontinental. So if you're just saying continental, it could be all the continents get to be on the continental breakfast. So I'm just saying I've never heard a dinner cuisine be described as continental, a continental dinner. And I'm like, if there's continental before your meal, then that means that you are in a Marriott under some bed lice sheets and you're just waiting for your omelet and you can share with the bed bugs crawling all over you. That is a continental meal, okay? You and the bed bugs who have crossed continents to get there and infect your luggage. Not only have I personally had bed bugs one time, fucking Hawaii, paradise for who? But then I've also worked at a front desk of a resort and somebody brought the fucking bed bug down. They brought it down as exhibit A. I was like, bitch, we have fucking iPhones in today's generation. I don't need the evidence. I just need a picture. I don't even need any of it. I believe you. I believe this isn't my hotel. If it was, stay forever for free. I don't want, that's gross. I agree. It's gross. Now get it the fuck off my desk and go take a shower, bitch. Oh my God. Okay. So then Jeff complained that it was so loud in this restaurant. Norma, La Cienega. I feel like La Cienega, that's like a good fragrance name for Dolce & Gabbana. Or is that, you know, it's like, spray me on La Cienega. Isn't that a song? I don't, La Cienega Boulevard. John Mayer, Taylor Swift, anyone sound familiar? Don't even get me started. I'm still not over Taylor's Thank You Amy song. If you were wondering, thank you for asking. I'm still not fucking over it. Because it, again, if you forgot, Taylor has a song called Thank You Amy, and it's a diss song against Kim. And everyone's like, oh my God, Taylor's this generation Shakespeare. It's brilliant the way she writes. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? She literally is the most passive-aggressive creative genius I've ever met then, because she kept everything lowercase except capitalizing K-I-M in Thank You, Amy. So that, to me, again, you just besmottered two names with one song. You killed two birds with one fucking song, Taylor. How does that feel? And because no matter what, everyone already knows it's about Kim, but now you dragged us Amy's into it, okay? And the Amy International Committee of the World, we are livid. I'm speaking for us all. And I'm fucking livid because in the song, Taylor screams, fuck you, Amy. And in it, she talks about how her mom wants Amy dead. Her mom wants us dead, bitch. And you're talking about Kim, but you're singing Amy. You're singing my name. What the fuck have we ever done to you? You drag, I can't. I have justice for Amy's. And the fact that Taylor Swift's going to have stadiums around the world singing, fuck you, Amy. Fuck you, Taylor Swift. I love you, girl, but this is unacceptable, and it's not Shakespearean to be passive-aggressive and use my name and then just capitalize Kim's name and, again, ruin two names in one. Fuck Taylor Swift. Love you. Hate you. Love you. Bye. Okay. So all I was trying to say is that when Jeff is complaining about how he had to text Kelly Dodd from across the table at Norma La Cienega, I was like, Jeff, you guys would be texting across the table regardless of how loud it was in that restaurant, because that's what people do when they like to talk shit. That's exactly the type of friendship I would see Jeff and Kelly having. They're the type to text about you from across the table. And I have both been the friend that people have texted about, and I've been the friend that's texting about, you know, it's just, you live, you learn. You lose, you learn, you crash, you learn. Okay, so Jeff's train ride, he was trying to have Monroe learn about how the other 99% live. And he learned that there's a business lounge in the train station. So I guess she's still getting the VIP peasant experience, you know? But Jeff recited, this was crazy. So Jeff recites the directions that the train employee gave him to be able to get to the VIP lounge, whatever. And the way Jeff said it through the radio airwaves, you guys, he was like, down the hall, to the left, press the button to a trap door, honk a tit three times, and boom, ba-ra-da-dee-do-da, you're there. You're there in the lounge. I thought I was in Willy Wonka. I know I've already referenced it once this episode, but I guess that's going to be the theme for today, because it felt like it was like the Oompa Loompas were giving him directions. I don't know, but the way he recited it, I realized what Jeff's perfect Halloween costume should be for this year. I already solved it. Because it's doubly perfect, because Monroe can go as Veruca Salt if she herself sees the resemblance as well. Daddy, I want my nails done now, bitch! Sad, because it's true. I meant funny. No, I meant sad. Okay, but Jeff, what about for Halloween if you let your inner demons show? And be Slugworth. Jeff would be the perfect Slugworth. Oh my God. Or the Monopoly Man. Now that I said it, I just pictured Jeff in that like top hat with a unicycle on his eye. What's that? A monocle. Bifocals? Wouldn't it be a monofocal? If bifocals are glasses, wouldn't a monofocal? Huh. All right. Whatever. We don't have time for that today. Jeff, just be Slugworth. Or go back to being the elf on the shelf. Because I swear to God that... You guys, if you've never seen Jeff Lewis dress up as the elf on the shelf, and it was the most terrifying and amazing thing. I've never been more obsessed and hated a costume at the same time, but I love it and I hate it. It's the same feelings I have for Taylor right now. Okay, moving on to JLL. So at Disneyland or World, Veruca wanted to go to Disney World and she wanted it now. No, actually, Grandma wanted to take her to Disney. So they were at Disney at night, and basically Monroe got this like $20 balloon from the gift shop, and this little boy... So Monroe gets a $20 balloon. This little boy or girl, this little kid, we're not going to genderize everyone. They kept trying to join in. I think he said it was a boy. So Jeff Lewis turns to the parents and goes, oh, if your kid wants a balloon so bad, why don't you just go buy one? Why don't you just go buy one instead of pestering my kid? And what the fuck, Jeff? Kids are born to pester. That's what they do. They pester people. Pester Pippins. I don't fucking know. That's what kids just want, what other kids have. They just want things. Even my little, I have ones that they'll be like, Auntie, can I have your water? And I'm like, oh, sure. And the other one's like, she has the water. And I'm like, oh, you have one? And they're like, but I want yours. I want yours. I want everything that you own, and you get nothing, and I'm going to stain all your clothing and break everything, and you're just going to have to love me. That's how I view children right now. No, they're great. The children are the future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. So Jeff's trying to teach Monroe well to let her lead the way. So he ends up, the parents are like, we can't buy a $20 balloon right now. So Jeff is like, well, then here, fucking just take it. And just like takes out his wallet, takes the $20 bill, crumples it up and shoves it in their face. I'm kidding. I'm sure it was very nice gesture, a nice interaction. Sure, Jeff, you get gold stars for the day. But all I could think about is like, Jeff and Monroe, I could see them starting to do this and like starting to try to do good deeds, but have some fucking twisted twist on it, some evil twist on it, and like have the $20 on a fishing pole, and they they just keep reeling it in every time the parents go to grab for it, and then they just like the Jeff and Monroe are cackling together and like and then finally when the parents give up, they're like, all right, take the, here, you can have the money. And the parents turn around to grab it one last time, and Jeff reels it in as fast as he can, and then they cackle forever. I'd watch that reality show. It's like Impractical Jokers, but impractical parenting. I don't know. No, again, great job, Jeff. Buy every boy a balloon. Balloon boys for everyone. I don't know. And also, like, I know Jeff is really trying to make sure Monroe's not spoiled, and that's great. It really is. The thing is, she already is spoiled and will continue to be. Like, that's just, you know, a lot of kids are spoiled, even if they don't have the giant funds, and you have, so she's just going to be crazy spoiled. So yeah, it is good to reel it in a bit. I can't imagine at 7 years old demanding to go to a nail salon. I'm like, is she driving a fucking limo around? Like, what the, what? I just, so I know, yeah, okay. Sure, Jeff. I'm like, is there, and just like, but she needs her nails to look good. Okay, then again, like somebody said, you do them at home, and you do your nails for like a special occasion. You don't, but again, sure, taking the train, that will really erase the 6 years of spoiledness already. But again, he's trying, and we acknowledge and appreciate that. I have heard of like kids nowadays, like, well, and I'm sure it happened back in the day as well, but like being really rude to teachers and swearing and like say, like calling teachers bitches. I hear it secondhand, so don't be like, where did you get your fat? This is what other parents tell me, okay? And I just think that those kids sound like fucking problems. That kid sounds like a problem. Monroe being spoiled, is that a problem? I don't know. If she can, her grandpa's going to leave her a trust fund, right? Sounds like she'll have upkeep her whole life. Like, to me, being nice and kind, though, that's very important. So, yeah. And she does seem very nice and kind. You know what? Speaking of that inheritance talk, there was an article of this girl in Boston. And in the article title, she was already complaining. And it was like, I'm 28 and I can't afford to live in Boston on my 130K salary. And I'm like, hold up. Hold the fuck up, bitch. First of all, you're under 30 and you're already making 130K. Okay, great. I know a lot of people who strive really hard their whole life to make that six-figure sums, whatever. So the fact that you're already making that, especially as a female in a career right now, like that's already amazing. You're really fucking lucky. And not saying that's a good thing. There should be more opportunities for girls everywhere. But... for her to be like in my studio apartment, whatever. And I'm like, okay, but you're paying $3,200 to live in the top tier building, in the top tier location, with the top tier finishings on all of the brand new condo, whatever it is. Like, you can afford to live in Boston. You're just choosing to live in the bougiest building, in the bougiest part, in the bougiest town, city. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, everything is relative. So I don't know. I just kind of, when I saw that article, I was like, that sounds like an entitled trust fund girl. Like, I can't even afford my $3,200 apartment. Then why the fuck are you paying $3,200? What the fuck? Move two neighborhoods down and you'll be fine. You'll be fine. I live there. I know rent prices. We're good. Okay. Let's just move on to the Tuesday episode. We had Allie Landry. John Hill, don't cry. He's not crying anymore, you guys, because he, when we first met John Hill, he was like getting his car towed and repoed or some, all that shit, bills missing. And now, a year later, he's totally transformed. He's tracking his Delta points. Good for you, John. Being a point tracker, that takes some real responsibility. That's good. Good on ya. Good onion. But Shane has also been tracking points for Jeff and all of that. And Jeff was like, oh my God, we love logging into Amex and seeing all of our new points. It's our favorite activity, bitch, besides eating fast food and talking shit. And I was like, what the fuck, Jeff? What the fuck? You literally spent all last season of Real Housewives of New York, the new one, whatever, on ripping on Jessel's husband about this very fucking issue, this exact issue you took issue with. Jessel's husband from Roni, he deserves an award for the PR campaign of the year. He single-handedly brought back point trackers, point Dexters. I don't know, people who track points. We'll just call them point Dexters for now. He brought them all back because everyone's been watching Bravo across the globe, and he had this whole thing about flying across the country just to get points, and everyone was like, you're not, or flying across the world, and they're like, you're going to Thailand to get your dick sucked. And he's like, what? If I wanted my dick sucked, I live in New York City. There are 70,000 million young, eligible females, bachelorettes, just waiting to suck my dick for the right price. So, yeah. And that was the stupidest storyline. I hope that Housewives gets canceled. That's probably an unpopular opinion. I hope Bravo is like in development with a lot of new shows and starts phasing out some of just all of it. Like, we don't, what's happening? The girls are so self-produced on it by now. Like, they either know exactly what they want to say, who they're going to say it to, what's going to happen. It's no fun. It's no fun. Season one of shows, those are fun. Summer House, I still love Summer. Summer's fun. I love Summer House. Housewives, it's a no for me, dog, at this point. Like, I can't believe they're filming a new Roni season of the new Roni. I'm like, wasn't one season enough? Didn't we decide then we wanted to just bring back the old cast? Like, why are we still trying to fake get to know these new people that, again, are already so image conscious that it's just annoying to watch? Okay, so then Ellie Landry talks about how she was gifted Vina CBD candy from Jeff and how her husband, he ate too many of the gummies and he puked. And Jeff's like, oh my God, that's so funny. My housekeeper did the same thing. And I'm like, what the fuck? What kind of pussy ass bitches do you guys know? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Ellie Landry, your husband is not a pussy-ass bitch. Actually, I was just watching Rugged, Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip, on the plane. I was saying that. And Brandy just called Eva's husband a mangina. It's not funny. It's wow derogatory. Oh, women are so rude to men. Aren't we? Aren't we? No, but when they were talking about like how intense these gummies are, all I could think is you would think that would deter consumers. Like, I don't really want to dabble in those gummies and potentially end up puking. To me, I'm like, challenge accepted. Challenge the fuck. I bet I could eat an entire carton of those and be like, all right, let's go to Six Flags. Like, what the fuck are we doing? Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. Every time I get, the worst thing about getting annoyed at Taylor Swift is that I love her. So every time I'm like, oh, her thank you, Amy, blah, I'm OCD compulsive about that right now, obsessing over that. And the worst part is that as I start freaking out in my head, her other song, you need to calm down. You're complaining so loud. Shut the fuck up and give me my crown, or however it goes, that starts playing. So like, I get mad at her for one song and her other song calms me down. Taylor, you are a creative genius, okay? But I'm still stick with the passive aggressive one and the Amys of America, nigh, the Amys of the world demand an apology, bitch. Or lifetime tickets to your show. You pick. You can pick either one. I will accept either. And I will accept the challenge of eating all the Venus CBD gummies and not even blinking an eye. Literally not even blinking because I'm so high that I just stop blinking. But I really, it made me so curious to try them. So it actually is, it was a great marketing twist for me. Okay, let's just move the fuck on to the Wednesday episode. We had Miss Nikki Glaser, the motherfucking razor. Her sharpest tongue is pager, and everybody saves her. Look, I'm not Nicki Minaj, okay? That was off the top of my head. I'm not Stu. I don't have a script. Allegedly, that's what Jeff said with this podcast. He scripts it. I take notes, but I didn't take notes on how to introduce Nikki Glaser, which her mouth is like a razor. So I do like that rhyme. Okay, and Zach Noe Towers, who gives us golden showers or motherfucking hour, and that's our golden power. All right, I should have made this prediction last week in my little Heather McDonald cult of prediction land. I just feel like every time I make a prediction, I'm like one of Heather's little minions. That's just, instead of being the psychic with all of the little psychics, she's running a predictionist and I'm one of her predictionists. Okay, I should have said that Nikki was going to definitely bring up Bob Saget, absolutely bring up Taylor Swift, and of course, how much she loves watching women's suffrage porn. I don't know how else to describe it. She like loves when women are like not beat, but like aggressively dominated. I don't know. She's talked about it. She always talks about everything. I can't even believe that she literally brought up how she was friends with Bob Saget in this 1 hour on JLL. I was like, Nikki, there's going to be no reason to bring up Bob. Don't do it this episode. And she fucking did. Of course she did it. I love you, Nick. I love you. But damn, we get it. We get it. You were friends with Bob. We believe you. We believe you. I really do love Nikki, though. And this is embarrassing and so random. I swear, it sounds like I DM a lot of people. There's probably been four in the past several years. Four. Nikki, Jeff, Danny Pellegrino, and Chris Lilly. He's another comedian. And Nikki was on my personal account a few years ago, and I asked her, I wanted to be her assistant. I just like want to work for people. Like I want to soak up their, like everything about them. I feel the same about Jeff. Like it's a mentor that I want to have. And I know that many people would be like, you should probably think the opposite. You should probably be like running the opposite direction. But I'm like, no, I love strong personalities because I am one, but I like to be quiet a lot. It was shocking, I know, but I like to soak up an even stronger energy than me and just like watch them at work and then envelope it into my own energy, you know, all that. So anyways, Nikki responded and she was like, that's so nice. And I love you so much for even thinking I have enough work. I would need an assistant, which A+ response, Nikki. You didn't even have to respond, but A+, A, golf claps and snaps for you. The unfortunate part was literally the next week on her podcast, she talked about how she hired a new assistant. And I was like, you fucking bitch. No, I'm kidding. I love you, Nikki. But it was just so great, like to be like, oh my God, I can't believe you think I need an assistant. And then be like, all right, guys, so I just hired this new assistant. Oh, I love it. Okay. I DM'd Nikki again recently in the past like month or something because I had too much wine. Whoops. And I was watching Million Dollar Decorators, I believe, on Netflix, which there's two guys in it. It's one decorator and his assistant that are so Jeff and Shane adjacent. They are Jeff and Shane in a parallel universe. But one of their clients was this girl who is Nikki Glaser in a parallel universe. And I was cracking up every time she came on screen. I was like, Nikki, is that you? What the fuck happened, Nikki? It wasn't Nikki, and she didn't respond to that one. I don't blame her. Again, yeah, love you, Nick. Okay, so, but one thing about Nikki, I'm so sorry, Nikki. Did they warn you about me? I know that you're the roast master, and you should forever have that title. You're great, fucking amazing at it. But I'm a baby roaster. Like, it wouldn't be like the full pig roast. It's like I'm a piglet roast. So, she's like, yeah, I can tell from that joke alone, you're none of the above. You're none of the above. Stay the fuck at home, little piglet. I love oinking. Oinking is so fun to me. Okay, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, Nikki's podcast, I used to listen to it all the time, and then I had to stop because she does this thing where every opinion that she has, she puts it as everybody must feel this way. If I feel this way, if I'm a girl coming at it from this angle, whatever, that every girl who's ever experienced this absolutely feels this way. And she would speak in such absolutes. And I'd be like, girl, I've experienced what you, I've done that, but I still don't think that way, or I don't feel, or I don't need whatever. And I hate when people speak so definitively about everybody. And she wouldn't stop. I love you, Nick, but you wouldn't stop. And so I had to love you and let you go for, maybe I'll circle back and see what's going on in Nikki's world. Cause we get it. We love her. Speaking of one of Nikki's friends, I believe she must know Conan O'Brien, his show on HBO, this new travel show, Conan O'Brien Must Go. This is my recommendation for the week, you guys. Okay. The second episode, like Anne's mom in the beginning, there were so many times where I was cackling out loud, and it takes a lot for me to cackle. I can make myself cackle real easy, but it takes a lot for others to get me to cackle. Is that the ultimate form of narcissism? Probably. And also, that is my dream fucking job, is to host a travel show. Even just traveling in my own city, you guys, it's a sitcom. Every day is a sitcom. Yesterday, the universe loves to fuck with me, and I think it knows that I love to be fucked with. I'm easily fuckable. Just ask all the boys in college. No, I'm joking. I'm fucking joking. I was the least fuckable girl in college. Okay, but as I walk into the entryway, a kid has his bike like upside down and he's like climbing on it kind of. He's like 12 years old, let's say. He's like, ma'am, sorry to bother you, right as I walk in. Maybe it wasn't British, but he's like, do you have $5? I just need a fish. And I was like, I don't have any cash on me, bro. And he's like, I need a fish. And he like wailed it and then like hopped on his bike and just pedaled away. And I was like, what the fuck? And so as I step into Petco, the lady who's working right there, she is like, she's shaking her head. And she was like, he asked me for $5 too. And I'm like, okay, but why? Why does he need a fish? What would happen to that fish if that kid just got it right now? Like the way he was asking, it was as if he was on a scavenger hunt or something. And like him and his friends, he had to be like, they dared him to swallow a goldfish whole, and he had to buy a goldfish to swallow whole. And he was failing at this mission. That is how it felt. And I was worried for every single fish inside of Petco's tanks. And you want to know what? I'm always worried for every fish inside of Petco. I hate Petco. I hate going in there. I hate knowing that at any point, all of the glasses can break and all of the tanks can explode and ferrets can be running free with all the fish and the crickets hopping everywhere. Oh my God. My biggest fear is when they open the live cricket thing they have to scoop a bag in for whoever the fuck has a snake, whatever freaks have snakes. If you're a Splash Disaster, you're the exception to the rule. We love you. Keep your snake, your sassy ass snake. Otherwise, fuck snakes and fuck having them as a fucking pet. What? It's like having a rope. It's like having a mechanical rope as a friend. Why do you need a rope? Get a cat. They're fluffier. So then I get into line and this girl in front of me with her dad, she starts doing the splits. The split in the middle. Dad, look at me. I'm doing the split. It was like a little Split Richards, Kyle Split Richards. She was literally a little Kyle Richards with her long brown hair, like doing the splits. And it's Petco. The floor is so fucking dirty. I was like, I'm impressed, girl. I get it. You can do the splits. Amazing. Great. Very flexible. Your tights are now black. Like they started off white. They're streaked. It's disgusting. It's nasty here. Let's do the splits on some grass or so. I don't know. So that was weird. That was too much. Then you guys, you can't. All right. So I do the pickup. I highly suggest if you have an animal, if you pre-order on Petco, you get 20% off for $80 purchase. Great. Don't you just love a bargain? And so I could see my order that's pre-picked while I'm in line already, but it's in a basket. Now I can hear the cash register cashier telling everybody in line ahead of me, including Splits and her dad, that there's no bags. This Petco always runs out of bags. I'm like, how the fuck do you run out of bags? That must be your lowest price operating cost item. Like, what? It's like 0 cents for a bag. So anyways, they have all of my stuff in a basket, like a shopping basket. And so I can already see where this was headed. But when I go up there, I'm like, hey, that's my stuff in that basket right there. And the guy's like, oh, all right, well, we don't have any bags. So do you want to take it to your car and unload it and then come back? And I was like, unload it? Like, I got some things in boxes, but there's like a bunch of random cans and stuff. What do you mean unload it? You think I'm just going to like be a juggler out and what the, have them free willy-nilly flying all over the car the whole time? What the fuck? I don't spend over $80 to be inconvenienced, Petco. God, order fucking bags. What the fuck? Or order reusable bags and give everybody a free one, the first purchase, whatever, and then have us bring our reusable bags that we'll forget and whatever. So that won't work. But so I was like, I'm not going to do that. Do you have a box? Do you have a box? How about we box this up? That sounds great. This guy who was seemed like the manager happened to be wheeling by with a bunch of boxes at that exact moment. He goes, take the basket. Just take the basket. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm not going to like come back. He's like, take it home. I don't care. And I was like, take the basket home? What a concept. And so, which I kind of already figured when I was in line and I saw that was my order in a bag. I was like, I somehow know I'm going to be, that's my bag. That basket is my bag. And so that is how 5 minutes later, I ended up in the car cackling my head off as I looked in my rearview mirror and I just see a Petco shopping basket with all of these cans in it in my backseat. I'm just like, so then I have to get home and in front of a row of condo neighbors, they're all watching me carry a fucking basket into my house. And now I just have a Petco basket in my house. And I'm I don't want it. I don't want it. So I'm going to have to bring it back. But that though, I feel like I'm working for them. I'm working for them. Maybe I'll keep it. Who knows? I love a good hoarding session. But anyway, that was just my travel story to Petco. So the randomest shit happens and it'd be fun to follow me. So Roku channel, let's make some magic happen, baby. Okay, so at one point in her stand-up show, Nikki, but guys, if you forgot, if I just sent you into like a Petco vortex, we are here to recap JLL. I will stop talking about me now and talk about Nikki Glaser. Now, one of her worst fears came true at her stand-up show, which is her saying something kind of gross or like a true fact about her and then having a hot girl in the audience react negatively. Like, so she said, like, I guzzle cum for fun. And some girl was like, ew, ew, ew. And Nikki was like, okay, as if you don't fucking guzzle cum, you little cum guzzler. And the girl was like, I do. I love guzzling cum, but you don't need to say it on a microphone, you twisted bitch. And yet again, this is like Nikki 101 to me. I'm sorry, Nikki, I love you, but it feels like again, she specifically pushes this narrative that everybody is the same as her and acts the same as her. Like, this girl guzzles cum just like Nikki. She just doesn't say it. But it's like, not all of us guzzle cum. And to Nikki, she'd be like, we all guzzle cum. Everyone loves a good cum guzzle. We don't, girl. We don't. We don't. We don't. So, again, I hope that you've evolved since grouping all of us. And you know what else? You know, while we're here, because Nikki is a world famous comedian at top of her game, you could argue, because everyone loves to argue. And it's just comedians as well, because Nikki, watching her podcast, it led me in YouTube to Tiger Belly and then Bad Friends and Bobby Lee. And I fucking love Bobby Lee. But all these comedians, Krista Stefano, sure, all these comedians, they talk so much about being a comedian and like, well, when you're comedians, you are this. And it's like that you're just describing people with a sense of humor. Like you think that it's mutually exclusive to because I'm a comedian, then this is how comedians act. And I just want to be like, nah, that's just people with humor, bitch. And we don't all love guzzling cum. God damn it. Okay, so then later on, they talk about PDA, and Jeff kept on asking Nikki her thoughts on it until finally she blurted out. Like, they kept on kind of, like, skating. She's like, yeah, it's fine to kiss, whatever, I don't know. And then Jeff's like, no, but, like, real, like, making out in the middle of a bar when you've never even met the person before. And Nikki was like, that's disgusting. It's disgusting to have to watch people make out. It's fucking nasty. Jeff got real quiet after that. Jeff got real quiet. That's literally been his MO the past few months. It's a weird reputation to want to have, to be fucking playing tonsil hockey in Tinseltown. Tinsel tongue hockey. Holy shit. It's like my own tongue twister that I can't untwist. Okay, so Nikki doesn't want kids. She wants that phase of life to be over with when kids are just off the table, so people don't even ask. I've had friends who in our early 20s, they wanted to get their uterus removed because they're like, I will never want kids. People will always try to convince me I want kids. I don't want it. I don't want my period. Does it make you not get your period anymore? I don't know. I'll have to ask this friend. I don't think they actually went through with it. Also, TMI, but Jeff on Friday's episode was absolutely doing TMI, so I can do it for 1 second. I've never had this predicament happen, but I'm getting a little Monroe treatment this weekend. I'm a little Veruca Salt. Daddy, I want a massage, and I want it now. I'm getting a massage, and I've only gotten very few in my life, and this is what I'm talking about. These scenarios. Why did this have to happen? I got my period today. So now, tomorrow, I have a male masseuse. I was ready for a fucking happy ending. I was ready to see what could come of this. Literally, what could come of this massage. Hopefully me. I'd be the one to come. But it's just, that was always my dream. And now I finally have a hot male masseuse. Well, I'm assuming he's hot. Even if he's ugly. Whatever. My eyes are closed. Even if it was a girl. As long as I don't have to do anything and they're doing the work, great. I'll sit back and enjoy whatever. Not with my fucking period. It's not fucking, unless they're a vampire coming up with a red face all over. No, like Sunday, Bloody Sunday is not what we're going for. That's not the vibe of the weekend. And the fact that now I have to be in my massage worried that my masseuse is going to accidentally grab my tampon string. What if he pulls out my tampon in the middle of the massage? And if you're like, Amy, that would never happen. You haven't met me. Did you ever take home a shopping basket from Petco? And you weren't stealing it? You were directed to? Back in my youth, I probably would have stolen it for sure. Yeah, so it's just, I've never thought of having my period with my, what do? Do I wear underwear? Ew, I hate it all. I don't want to wear underwear. I wanted him to massage my ass, my crack, even some holes. I don't, again, I'm in a relaxed state of mind. So as long as you wash your hands first and it's just hands, we're good. We're good. But we're not good because of flow, fucking flow. Okay, so back to Nikki and having kids. She knows that she would be a great dad, but just not a great mom because I love her. Because moms are simply expected to be like unappreciated superheroes, basically. Expected to like do everything 20 times the amount of work as the guy, but then be like, oh, it was nothing. It was a piece of cake. Now who wants a slice of this homemade cake that I made for everybody? Ah, Betty fucking Crocker over here. Betty Crocker shit, you mean? And very relatable, Nikki. Very relatable. I would love to be a dad. If I could be a dad, I would have been one 10 years ago. Hands down. She's right. Being a mom is so much worse. It's a mom should be paid. But even with her animals, Nikki feels like she travels too much and she's not sure she's even giving them the best life. Forget about kids. Are her animals even being their best selves right now? This brings us back. I'm sorry, Taylor. I'm sorry. We do love you, girl. It's blame it on the Virgo, huh? But Taylor Swift, her cats are not her cats. We do understand this, right? And Taylor, you said that your mom wishes me dead. Your mom, you wrote a song about your mom wishing me dead. So fuck you. Your cats are not your cats. Like, you are traveling so fucking much. You're always everywhere. There's no way your cats are traveling with you, which means that if you see your cats 5% of the year, they're not yours. They're whoever lives at your house where they stay, like whether they're in Nashville, New York, whatever. Whoever the house assistant is, they're their cat. It's probably her mom. Her mom, it's her mom's cats at this point. That's just always been my thing. I'm like, Taylor, but how did you give up? Because like when she was holed away for a couple years, she probably really bonded with her cats. And now she can just go and travel and not miss them desperately and feel like Nikki and I do, where if you go to the grocery store, you're abandoning them for a whole hour. I don't know if Nick, I'm projecting that onto Ms. Glazer. But, okay, let's just move on to the Thursday episode. We had Cheryl Bark and Joey Zazu. Simba, come to Pride Rock. We just painted it rainbow. Get it? Get it? Because it's Pride Rock? Hey, fuck being a baby Rosa. I'm ready for the big leagues. Tag me in, Nick. Okay, Cheryl Burke, you know I'm a doppelganger, whether it's hands, voices, faces, whatever, eyebrows. Cheryl Burke's, her voice is Paula Abdul's. It's like a younger, slightly younger version of Paula Abdul. I was fascinated because they're both dancers, and to be dancers and have the same exact voice, strange. Also, when people become famous, like when Paula Abdul was in, well, she's always been famous, but like to me, American Idol was when I met her. And at that time, when you hire, if like, say it's Geico or Progressive, they should hire people like Cheryl Burke, who would have a lower price tag than Paula Abdul, yet have such similar voices that the voice recognition within you, like when you're walking by and you hear somebody's voice you think you know, like Paula Abdul on a commercial, you're more apt to turn and look at it and listen than if it was just a rando voice. And so when you pay somebody who's a voice doppelganger, because there's times when I'm like, is John Krasinski voicing that commercial right now, but it sounds like one octave different. And I'm like, I think they just hired a John Krasinski voice doppelganger, and they only have to pay them a tiny fraction of the cost of what it would take to have a real John voice. And it said they get him at a discount price. I'm on to you. I'm on to you, marketing consumers of America. Hate you. I hate you. Okay, so Jameson has been on this kick lately of having pre-dinner sex with his boyfriend, pre-meal sex, which I agree with Jameson. I very much recommend. But Jameson says, it's in case you get farty. And the visual, the visual imagery of the phrase get farty, I just picture the Black Eyed Peas, their song, let's get farty in here. And the bass is fartin'. I'm just saying, fart stuff never gets old. It's always funny. Maybe to, oh my God, look at me. I'm pulling a Nikki Glazer right now. I'm saying it's always funny. Some people might not like fart humor, okay? How dare I project that onto all of the citizens of the world? I thought that was a universal trait that we all find farts funny, but I'm sure there are those who don't. Fuddy duddies, farty dud, farty darties. I'm going to, what isn't a party called a day party, a darty? I'm going to a farty darty. Going to a farty darty. Okay, so then they talk about fresh breath, the importance of fresh breath and not having fart breath. And while they're talking about it, Jeff whips out his Listerine spray mid-show for a quick spritz. Ch-ch. Now, he's been doing this forever, since Flipping Out days, I'm sure since before. That wasn't just a bit that he created for Flipping Out. But my thing is, how have you not created your own by now, bitch? Like, you've been on TV for what, 15 years? Where are Jeff Lewis lines? I know that he tried to do the paint line thing. I don't know what ever happened with that. But like the fact that there aren't more business ventures with Jeff, and maybe he's a silent partner in things, even though I feel like the point of teaming up with him would be to get, well, maybe brands aren't teaming up with him because they never know what he might say. So I guess now we figured out why he doesn't have... But he could create it himself, of a fresh mint spray. I'm just saying that I was raised in America, and we think with money. How do you sell this? How do you, yeah. So like, Jeff, how do you start selling fresh breath? What is the fresh commercials? Those were awful. Maybe his fresh breath ones will be better because he'll be in charge of all of it. Creative direction, all of it. All right. So then some lady calls into JLL saying that she wants Shane to give her husband testosterone shots because when Shane did it to Jeff, he fucked it up and Jeff's ball shrunk. And this lady, her husband's balls are huge and she would love if they shrunk. Because they weren't always huge. She didn't. It's not like if you don't have sex with somebody before you get married and then you find out, oh my God, I literally married somebody that has two bowling balls in their pants. No, that's not what happened. They were normal clementines. They were little baby grapes even. And since then, they've developed into giant juicy pears. Christmas pears, if you will. I don't even know what the fuck a Christmas pear is, but I'm sure there's an extra twinkle to it. Now, this led to a lot of ball talk, and I just want to say, when I was like 12 years old, my friend, we were with her family on the beach, and her dad is like 6'8", stepdad. He bent down, and with the shortest shorts on, bent down. Not only did I see the Christmas pears, but I saw the entire Christmas tree. And it was in full, it was fully lit up. It was, oh my God. But no, really, it was giant pears just swinging in my face. And I've never been the same since. I've never been the same. But then even this week, there was an article about Travis Kelce and Andrew Santino, them on a podcast. And Travis Kelce's balls were out the whole time. So Santino had to cover it up with something. And it was just so funny to me because like, you never hear of a girl's vagina falling out. But why do we all have all these experiences with all these boys' balls? What the? Keep your balls in your pants. We keep our vulvas in ours. Like, what the fuck? Oh, just me. The cooch can stay in the pooch, but the balls always fall. Okay, moving on to Friday episode. We had Patty Stanger and who? Oh my God, Michael Beck. What the heck, Michael Beck? I really didn't do that on purpose. I was just at the gym today during today's episode, so I didn't write your name down. Because I also didn't have many notes. We already talked a lot. But basically, Patty smeared Jeff a bagel because he was too busy to cream on it himself. And Jeff was like, oh my God, you're so nurturing. And it's just so true. Like, men just want to be nurtured. We just want somebody to smear our bagel. We all want to be nurtured. I want somebody to take care of me as well. What the fuck? I want my bagel smeared too. I was just like, again, men, it's not just men that want to be nurtured. We all need our bagel smeared, okay? So smear a bagel for a friend or a lover this weekend. You pick, maybe both. Also, I do want to say in the guest lineup for next week, you guys, my heart broke into a million pieces because Megan Weaver, she hasn't been on in at least 2 weeks now, and then next week we'll make it 3 weeks, and maybe it's been four, I don't know. I get that they're taking a little space so that they can hopefully keep their friendship, Jeff and Megan, and Jeff is learning from his past and not talking about it so much right now and whatever, but I miss Megan. I miss Mushroom Meggie and Miss Weaver, Queen of the Beavers. We hope everything's okay for you guys. Wishing y'all the best, Meggie and Jeffy. Hope you figure it the fuck out. Okay, I love you guys, and we'll be back next week. Okay, have the best week ever. Love you, bye.
Splash, splash, splash. Splash, you say.